Glitch Free Gaming.
Hey everyone, it's another episode of Glitch Free Gaming. It's episode number 148. Hooray!
Yay. Sorry, I made the stupid decision of taking a drink as we started.
Right.
Well, despite that's... doing the countdown before starting the podcast, I counted down to the can reaching my mouth.
Yeah, we we did the countdown and everything. That's it, it's ruined. We may as well just go home then.
I'm sorry. We are home. Yay!
Yay! Excellent. It's just Kieran and myself this week again. I know we said we were going to get guests, and we both just played games again and just didn't bother.
We'll get guests at some point.
Yeah, we will. Cool. So I don't think we've got anything to talk about housekeeping or anything like that. We could kid on that we've made a decision about the book game.
No.
The book club game thingy.
We do need to bring that back. I think it's just been a... It's one of those things where there's lots of games coming out just now.
Yes.
And neither of us are really playing anything the same.
Well, I think we're kind of playing something the same at the moment.
Are we?
Well, how's that for a segue? Let's find out. What have you been playing this week?
Fire Emblem?
Yay!
Is that the one you're talking?
Yes.
They're so different, though. From what I understand, at least, that much.
Yes, yeah, they are.
I'm on Chapter 8 of Fire Emblem, which I think is the same chapter I was on last week. It might be the chapter after the one I was on last week.
Right, okay.
I am stuck, because it's really hard.
I keep
losing guys in, like, the first... Like, the second or third turn of the thing, and I'm like, nope, I'm out.
How can you see... Oh, you can just bookmark it, can't you?
See which chapter you're on.
Yeah.
Your save game will have the chapter name on it.
Yeah. So if I go into continue and I go by save instead of bookmark. Oh no, delete my bookmark. No, I can't do it. I think I'm on chapter 9 or 10 now.
So a little bit further than me.
A little bit further than you, but I did have a hassle with one of them. I'll tell you about the mission, but I'd imagine maybe the mission might be the same, kind of the same objectives.
I don't think it will be, because from what I understand, Conquest has slightly different objectives for stuff.
All right, okay. Well, so the mission that I'm on was you go in and you think you're going to do one thing, you're going to be a little bit sneaky, but it falls flat on its face and you're not able to. And you end up in a situation where you and all your units are outnumbered, so you need to escape. And you're on, you have the ability, it's like a lake and there's little gondolas. And basically what you're doing is to get from one point to the other, you're running on little gondolas. You know,
this is nothing like the one.
No.
This is completely different as it turns out.
But there is... have you got the use of dragon veins in your game?
Yeah.
So there's a dragon vein that can freeze the water, which then means you can run across it.
Okay.
Right? So that's fine. But the object of the game, or this mission, is to escape. Get Corrin to escape. Sorry, your character.
Mm-hmm.
Get your main character, get them to escape. And I tried this, I did it 5 or 6 times, because what I was doing was what we've been trained to do since we've been playing games for years and years and years. Yes, I need to escape, but I'm going to wipe out everything that's on the map, and I'm going to get all the bonus weapons, I'm going to get all the money and things like that.
Yeah.
The level's not designed that way. It's designed, get the fuck out. So what was happening, I was getting close to the end, but I'd lose like 3 or 4 units,
yeah.
And that was unacceptable, so I'd start over again.
This one's completely different from that. I mean,
right.
It has a similar thing in that there's a giant lake in this one, the mission that I'm on.
Right, okay.
And it's got the opposite thing, where there's dragon veins there, but the lake is frozen and you unfreeze it.
Which
doesn't completely stop enemies. It just kind of slows them down for a turn.
Yes.
Because it's not like a deep lake. They just kind of wade through it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just hard though, because there's like this kind of separate objective in it where like the objective is just, you know, kill all the enemies.
Right.
There's kind of a side objective, which is there's 5 villages on the map, and you have to visit all 5 of them, or as many of them as you can. It says there's a special goal of reaching at least 3 of them before the enemies do. But if the enemies reach them, then they get more soldiers.
Oh, right, okay.
So far I've managed to reach 2 of them, and then I lose at least 1 soldier before I get the 3rd one, and I'm like, okay, this is so hard that I can't really afford to lose soldiers this early on.
Yes.
And give up and start again. But it seems impossible to get even 3 of them. It's really hard. I keep losing people.
Yeah. So have you actually lost any units yet? Apart from on this mission where you keep, you know, replaying the mission, have you lost any units before this point?
Not and kept it. I've been safe scumming for
now. All right, okay.
Because I feel like it's too early for me to...
I was kind of the same. I was, because what would happen is I would make a mistake and move the wrong unit somewhere, because I wasn't looking at, you know, the surroundings and things, and I would lose that unit, and it was a unit that I quite liked.
Mm.
So I was doing the same thing as you, and so I'd replay the entire chapter because I didn't want to lose. But on my last chapter, I think I lost 2 units, and I thought, right, fair enough. I'm going to have to bite the bullet at some point. Birthright is a little bit more forgiving than Conquest, though, from what I believe, because near enough every chapter that I've taken part in, I meet somebody and they join my party.
Uh-huh.
So I have, I normally have about 6 or 7 units spare that can't go on the mission with me.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm always picking and choosing. I'm guessing by that tone that you don't have that luxury.
Not yet, but again, I've only kind of had like 1 or 2 missions between, 1 or 2 missions that I have, you know, had the kind of break between where you go back to your castle.
Yes.
So I've not had that massive amount of units. I've had like 1 full party for this mission, and I had 1 person I could switch out because I did that side thing we talked about last week where you
the
little girl.
Yes.
But then this mission that I'm doing right now that I keep losing on actually introduces 2 new characters. So I'm not sure, maybe it is actually going to introduce a lot of new characters as I go. But it's just been so hard that I've not.
Yeah, it seems you're not getting them as often as I do.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, so... Cool. How are you finding it otherwise? Are you still enjoying it?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's just really difficult.
Yes.
But yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. See, I'm not finding it as difficult, and I think partly because I turned down the difficulty and partly because it's designed to be the easier one.
Yeah.
I'm finding it more difficulty because I want to try and, you know, go through a level, beat all the units, get everything that I possibly can.
Yeah, exactly. No stone unturned.
Yes, yeah. But that, I must say the last 2 missions were quite tough. So, and that's how I decided, yeah, I'm going to lose 2 units. It's fine. Because at the moment, like I said, I've got quite a few units just kind of backed up. And once you develop a team, you kind of stick with that same team.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, if I lose a unit, then it forces me to use one of the other guys as well.
That's true.
Yeah. So I don't think it's going to be too much of a train smash and a tragedy for Birthright if you lose units, but from, you know,
yeah, I think
what you've said about Conquest, it's going to be a nightmare if you do.
Yeah, and again, that's just what I've kind of read about Conquest. Conquest makes it sound like, I don't know how true it is, but it makes it sound like it's going to be more unforgiving about that stuff.
Uh-huh.
I think you might end up there might be ways in Birthright to kind of recruit slightly more foddery characters later on.
You run across, every mission, like I said, you come across somebody, it's like, oh, I'll help you. And then sometimes in the story, they'll be with you for, you know, 2 or 3 chapters, and then they'll get taken out because it's part of the story and part of the canon. Right. But yeah, I don't think there's many chapters where I've had, you know, where nobody's joined me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's always been something.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm going to keep playing it. That's the end of this. Basically, I will be continuing to throw myself against even just this one mission over and over until something happens.
Yeah.
But I am enjoying it. It is difficult. But I knew this one was going to be a difficult one. It was
the risk
I took when I picked this one up instead of Birthright. But even then, I probably would have struggled with Birthright anyway.
Right.
But other than that...
Excellent. What else you be playing?
I picked up Overwatch.
Ah.
That came out.
Right, so Overwatch... I get confused between... Overwatch, is that the Blizzard one?
Yeah, that's the Blizzard one. It's basically Team Fortress 2.
Right, and Battleborn was the...
The Gearbox one.
The Gearbox one.
Which is slightly more of a MOBA, but still kind of just a team-based shooter, really.
Yeah, and it's not doing very well.
No, it's not doing super well.
Yes, but Overwatch is the one that's doing very well, and that's Team Fortress 2. That's just like first-person shoot-em-up.
Yeah, basically.
All right, okay.
And it's very good. It's a class-based shooter. All the classes play amazingly different from each other. Like, there's no similarities between any of them. They're kind of split into groups of, you know, you have your kind of your attack characters, your defense characters, your tank characters, and your support characters.
Yeah.
Even within those groups, they're all very difficult, different from each other. So for example, the character I like playing as the most at the moment is called Mei, and she has like this ice gun that has two modes of fire. The main mode of fire is just kind of like a spray that when it touches things for long enough, they freeze for like a second.
Mm-hmm.
And it also does some damage. So you can run around freezing members of the other team, and mainly it leaves them open to attack from other people, and it can kind of interrupt whatever they're doing.
Right, okay.
For example, there's a character called Reinhardt that can make a big shield, which means you can use that, you can put this big shield up, blocks all attacks, and then your entire team can just push out with that and kind of, you know, have this defense.
Uh-huh.
But if Mei sneaks up behind the Reinhardt and freezes him, his shield's down, so it's a good way to just take the shield down for a couple of seconds.
Right, okay.
But then she also has like a secondary fire that shoots these kind of ice pellets out. And then every character has an ultimate and two abilities.
Uh-huh.
So her main ability is that she can summon ice walls.
Right, okay.
Which you just put up this giant wall of ice and it just blocks all attacks for a few seconds. Or another use for it is you can actually use, if you're standing on where the ice wall is going to show up, you'll land on top of it when it goes up into the air.
All right,
you can use it to reach higher platforms and stuff like that.
All right, okay.
So you can use it kind of as this movement thing. And her other one lets her heal, and that's also quite good. Because quite a lot of characters have that, actually, but they have their own healing abilities, so they don't have to rely on healing characters.
Right, okay.
Which I think makes playing as healing characters actually a bit more fun, because in something like Team Fortress 2, or even something like Battlefield or something, if you're playing as a healing character, I always feel at least there's kind of a lot of pressure on you to be right there healing whoever needs it when they need it.
Right.
Because so many characters have their own healing thing, it's more, if you're there to heal, that's good. If not, I can back out this fight and heal myself the moment there's kind of a bit of downtime.
Right.
But also playing as healing characters would be a lot of fun. Like the main game is basically just there's like a few maps, and each map has kind of its own mode, and most of them are just like capture point modes, or there's no straight up deathmatch. Most of them are like capture point, or you know, the kind of thing where there's a moving point and it only moves when characters are on the team are near it. You're kind of pushing it towards the end of the level.
All right, okay.
That kind of thing. And healing characters work quite well, because there's one called Lucio, who is this guy that's wearing like roller skates, and he roller skates around, and he's blasting music out at all times, and that's kind of his ability. But he's basically kind of more of a passive character, because you can switch what he's doing depending on what music he's playing, and either he's speeding up everyone around him or he's healing everyone around him. And it's just so much fun to play as him. He can do a bit of damage as well, which is quite good, but it's fun just to be not needing to worry like, oh, I'm healing this specific person because they're dying right now. It's just like, I'm near the people that need healed, and so they're getting healed.
Right, okay.
So there's lots of cool little things like that. And there's like three healing characters, and they all play completely differently, which is great in its own way, because most games like this will just have the healing character, and it's just like, you know, you shoot the healing laser at someone and that heals them.
Mm-hmm. Alright, okay.
But I'm enjoying it. I've been playing a lot of it so far. Definitely one of those games that's more fun with friends, but also it's, you know, fun in general. Probably not up your alley, because I know you're not super into first-person shooters.
Yeah.
But it is a very, very good one. And it's just one of those things where, like, so many little bits of the design are just so well done. Like, again, the characters are all unique, and they all have their own kind of... It's like the thing that Valve always talked about before Team Fortress 2 came out, where they designed the characters with silhouettes in mind, so that you could tell who a character is from the other side of the map. You know, you can't specifically see that character's face to know that they are this, but you can tell from the shape of them, you know, that's a sniper, that's a, you know, that's a soldier, whatever. Every character in Overwatch is like that as well.
Alright, okay.
And also, like, sound is such a massive part of it, which most of the time I play these kind of games, like online shooters and stuff like that, I will sit and listen to a podcast or something while I'm doing it. But you kind of can't with Overwatch, because every character has an ultimate, like I said. And they all have audio cues. Most of them have visual cues as well, but a lot of time you won't be able to see the enemy when they're doing it. But if you can hear it, you're like, oh, I need to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
The one that's kind of the most obvious for a lot of people is there's a character called Junkrat, who kind of looks like a reject from Mad Max. But his ultimate is that he like releases this remote control kind of spiky wheel that kind of drives around and then explodes when it hits things, and it's basically a one-hit kill for anyone nearby when it gets in contact with someone.
Right.
And if he does that and you don't see it coming, then, you know, it's pretty much a one-hit kill. But the audio cues for it, like, you can hear it getting closer and closer, and you kind of need to hear it getting closer and closer so you can know to get away from it. And it's just a cool system.
Cool.
But yeah, there's not a whole lot I could talk about on Overwatch other than the fact that it's just a really good shooter. I'm not super good at talking about shooters, unfortunately, because they're shooters.
Yeah.
You know, it's that thing where you kind of know what it is because it is a first-person shooter. It's just a really good one of those.
Yeah.
I played a lot of Team Fortress 2, so I can see myself playing a lot of this in the future. I've already played quite a lot of it, and it only came out, I don't know, last week at some point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I played a lot of that over the weekend. There's a lot of fun. I also jumped back into Paragon, which is the other one of these kind of games, in terms of the stupid amount of, you know, shooters with mobile elements thrown in. Paragon's the Epic Games one.
Right, okay, yes.
Which is the one that's far more of an actual MOBA. Like, it is basically Dota 2, but third, like, with a third-person action-y camera. Sorry, fixing my microphone here. But yeah, I jumped back into it because I've not played in a little bit, and they've added more characters to it, because
right.
It's still early access, You can either get in on the free weekends, which they're having pretty much constantly, or you can pay to get in and play it whenever you want, which is what I did. And so they've added, I think, three new characters since I last played it, like, a couple of months ago.
Right.
They actually added a new one just, like, today, which I've not checked out yet. But one of the characters they've added is I've just found so much fun to play as, so I've ended up playing a lot of Paragon again. Because he looks like a big Ringwraith kind of guy. You know, just the big kind of black robes, can't see his face, kind of shadowed out kind of thing.
Right.
But he's got, like, this massive hammer. And because he looks like a Ringwraith, he kind of looks like some kind of weird kind of magey thing. And so what I found is a lot of people will think he's really kind of squishy and they'll just run in and try and attack him. But he has a stupid amount of health. So enemies keep running and attacking me and I'm just hitting them with this hammer over and over. And they're sitting there like, why is this not doing any damage? Why is he so strong? Which is great. And he also has like abilities where he can absorb the souls of enemies and it makes them stronger throughout the match. And so by the end of the game, you end up stupidly overpowered and you're just, you know, running down lanes, killing everything yourself.
All right, okay.
Which is a lot of fun. It's a very different way to play a MOBA. And yeah, I don't know. I still think Dota 2 is the MOBA to play if you're trying to play MOBAs. Although I think I've heard Heroes of the Storm is really good as well. But Paragon's definitely up there for me as well. It's still got that same issue where it's less of an issue with this character because he's got a big melee hammer thing. It's still got that issue where if you play as any of the characters that are ranged characters, because it looks and feels like a shooter, it's still got that kind of disconnect when you try to actually shoot. Because the combat has to be so slow because it's a MOBA.
Right.
Which is unfortunate, and I don't think there's any way to really fix that. But it's still a really good game despite that.
Cool.
So, yeah, Paragon. What else did I play? Played more Uncharted 4.
Excellent. Have you finished it?
Not yet, but I think I'm getting near the end. I'm on chapter 19. I think there's 20-something chapters. There usually is.
Right, okay.
I think Uncharted 3 was 22? 21? Something like that. But yeah, so I assume I'm near the end, unless it's stupidly long. The story definitely seems like it's kind of heading to a point. It's good. I've kind of been, I think I've been consistent over the two podcasts I've talked about it where, you know, it's probably the best Uncharted game, but I'm still not super into Uncharted. The platforming puzzles are probably the best the series has ever had. It's all probably the best the series ever had, but the platform puzzles in particular are just really fun.
Right.
And the environments they make to explore are kind of a little bit more open, like just enough to be more interesting. So you can wander around and look at stuff, which is kind of great. And there's a decent amount of kind of downtime that doesn't feel like it's breaking the flow of things. So I think I said last week that I feel like the shooting kind of slows the game down quite a lot at a point where it feels like the pace of the game is trying to ramp up to be like the super fast thing. And then you'll get bogged down in a gunfight for ages and you're like, whatever. But there's some downtime like in between stuff like that that is really well done and kind of really doesn't feel like it's eating into the pacing in any way. It just feels like it should be there. And that's been pretty good. There's some good dialogue in those bits and there's some good kind of environmental stuff in those bits that you can look around and kind of explore. And it kind of reminds me a lot of The Last of Us in that way. Because The Last of Us had that as well. Some of the best bits of The Last of Us were between the combat and stealth sections where you're just kind of traversing through this world.
Yeah.
So yeah, Uncharted 4. It's really good.
Cool.
What else? I played more stuff. I just forgot them. As always. More Dark Souls 3, but we don't care about Dark Souls 3.
Nah.
I've not got a lot to talk about Dark Souls 3 anyway. I died a bunch. I've not really progressed much.
Fair enough.
I feel like there's something else. I'm missing it. Paragon, Uncharted, Stellaris, which again, I've been playing the same game of Stellaris for ages now, and it's not even coming to a head. I picked the fight with the Giant Federation, and then they kind of took a bunch of my planets and were like, no, no, don't fight us, bigger than you. And I was like, okay, fine, I'll find someone else to fight. That game's still great. It consumes all of my time. All of my time.
All of it.
Yeah, but at least it's helping me catch up on Peaky Blinders.
Alright, okay. Well, that's fair enough.
I'm on season 3 now.
Oh, excellent. Very good.
Which, that show was great. Not really the video games, but that show was great.
Yes.
It's going to drive me insane now. What was I playing? I played some Downwell. Downwell's like a 2D platformer where you're going down a well.
Right. It's
kind of roguelike-y. Kind of like Rogue Legacy or Spelunky and stuff like that. Not as much as those. Just in terms of you get like kind of randomly generated upgrades and unlocks and stuff like that.
Right, okay.
It's a cool little game. Very fast-paced. Very, you know, kind of fun and skill-based. It's like £4 on PSN or something.
Cool.
I think it's about the same on iPhone as well. Although I wouldn't recommend playing it with touchscreen because I tried and it doesn't work so well.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I don't remember what I was going to think of. If it comes back to me, I'll say I played something else.
Fair enough. Cool. Suppose I better tell you what I've been playing now.
Yeah, what have you been playing, Mike?
Been playing Fire Emblem as well. I checked. I'm up to chapter 14.
So I'm
quite a bit further now. So no need to talk more about that. But what I did do this weekend was I did another clean out. I now no longer have an Xbox 360 or any physical Xbox 360 games.
Crazy.
Crazy, yes. I got rid of the whole load. I decided that they were sitting there, they were doing nothing. Which is quite a good thing, though, because I also discovered that my Xbox 360 was dead.
Was it?
Yeah,
it didn't red ring.
It was, it would stall and it was very, very slow. It just very unresponsive. I found that before I'd got the Xbox One, to be fair.
Yeah.
But it's now more noticeable now, and it was taking ages for anything to load up. So I just stripped it bare. I took the wireless adapter that I had out of it. I took the hard drive and things like that, and, you know, traded all of that in and all the games that I had. Traded in all my PS3 games, physical games as well. My reason being for, especially the PlayStation 3 ones, is see if I want to play them now. I can play them on PlayStation now.
Yeah.
Most of the games that I was keeping, I can play them on PlayStation now. I've got decent internet. You pay the £3 and you can have it for 2 days, or you pay £12 a month and you've got unlimited access. So, you know, should the urge take you to play those games, it's quite easily accessible now.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't have an issue with paying money, you know, to play those games if I don't physically have them anymore. That's fine. It's about time that the consoles, you know, Sony and Microsoft realized what PC gamers have had for ages. If I want to play an Atari 2600 game, I just load it up.
Yeah, it should just be there.
Yeah, you know, I've owned it before. And I will always own it. I just load it up. So they're kind of getting there. Xbox One with a backwards compatibility, and PlayStation's a little bit jaded with the PlayStation now, but I'd like to see something come in where they, you know, because they must have some sort of record of that you own a copy of this PlayStation 3 game digitally.
Yeah, at the very least the digital stuff. Like, I wouldn't expect them to do it for the physical things, but yeah.
No,
For digital stuff. It's kind of like, you know, I have this. It's tied to my account. You should
yeah, do so you should
cross-play for everything, essentially.
Yeah, let me play it for nothing on PlayStation Now.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my reason for doing it, and I've ended up with nearly £300 worth of credit notes. So that was fine. So I bought a couple of things and played through. Still playing a little bit of Battlefront when we're talking about all the games as well. I can't really talk much more about that. I'm getting a little bit better.
It doesn't take long to get better at that game.
No.
It's very welcoming to newbies.
Yes, yeah. What I did find, though, is that, you know, the games that I was playing against people that would sit and they would camp, you know, they would spawn camp, they would know the best places to be and things like that. And also, just a lot of games, dumb luck, I would end up on the team where everybody just runs off and they don't, you know, there's no coherence whatsoever.
Yeah, that's definitely a lot of old shooters. I mean, even Overwatch has a lot of that. It's just...
Just people doing their own thing now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is fine, but still had a little bit of fun with it, which was cool. One of the games that I bought was for the Xbox One, and it's the one of the few Kinect games. It's Fantasia Music Evolved.
Oh.
Yeah, I picked it up for pennies. It was £8, I think, which
that's
is
cool.
Yeah, very good. And it was just picked it up. I thought, I remember this was, it had a little bit of buzz about it.
This was,
but,
the Dance Central guys.
Yeah. So,
or I guess the Rock Band guys, if you want to.
It's the Rock Band guy. Yeah, the Rock Band and Guitar Hero guys. It's Harmonix. So this is a rhythm action game, and it has no controller. It doesn't use your controller. It solely uses...
You're the controller.
Yes, it uses Kinect, yeah.
In stores, actually, they're not, you can't buy Kinect anymore.
They didn't do away with it, but yeah, you can't buy it anymore.
Yeah, well, they never started selling them. They were bundled, and then they were like, nah. Well, not for the Xbox One, at least.
Yes, yeah, that's right. Yeah, they never sold them separately. Wow. The game is, the whole idea is based on, if you ever, you remember Mickey Mouse, the Sorcerer's Apprentice, mm-hmm. and in that classic Fantasia cartoon where he's conducting, you know, and he's sweeping his arms and there's the waves crashing and he's conducting not only the waves and the water and everything, but he's also conducting the music.
Yeah.
So that is the idea of the game, that your movements will trigger the music. And the way that it works is there is what they call sweeping movements. So you see a little arrow and it darts across the screen in a general direction. It may go straight up and it has an end point. You can see this end point. And the idea is to raise your arm and hit the little dart as it hits its end point, as it crosses the point.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, imagine raising your arm and you'd want your arm to be raised. It's the equivalent of pushing the X button at the right time or pushing the green button on a guitar.
Yeah, or like swiping on the touchpad and theater rhythm.
Yes. So it's just timed, making sure you're doing it at the right time.
Yeah.
So you've got these sweeping movements, so you raise your arms to the left, to the right, up, down, and all the different directions. There is also what they call the force, no, it's not force. I think of it as force. I think it's a punch movement. So it's essentially just sticking your hand straight out. Mm-hmm. And the advanced movement of that is you'd punch your hand straight out and then you hold it there for a little while. You can, and you're given a cue as to how long to hold it there for. The advance on that again is you thrust your arm forward and then you're guided to kind of move your arm in the motion that's moving on screen. So you can see a trace pattern where it wants you to go.
Uh-huh.
And then you physically, so you push forward. And then you do the movement.
Oh.
And Kinect camera follows what you're doing. There is that the, yeah, that's the three or four different types that you get. And there's, when you combine it all together, it would look like, if you took a step back from what you were doing in a rather fast song, it would look like you're conducting an orchestra. Which is the end goal. Although the thrust movement, it does feel like you're like doing like Jedi moves and things like that. This game is surprisingly intuitive. The control system really works. Kinect, I hate to say this, Kinect works, and it works really bloody well.
Refuse to believe it.
Yeah.
Bad.
The Kinect 2.0 or whatever the hell they decided to call this one, and the work that Harmonix have done, it is really good. Works really, really well. So, apart from, playing the music like that, the way you navigate the menus as well is, you put your one hand forward, you bring it up so that your palm is facing the TV.
Uh-huh.
And, there's this little orb that comes up, and it looks like you've got the orb in your hand, and you're moving it around the screen.
Okay.
And you push your hand forward, and the orb moves deeper into the screen.
Yeah.
Bring your hand back, and it comes closer to the screen.
That's quite cool.
So you're navigating all these, and you're looking for hidden objects, or you're looking for the next song, and the songs are hidden within the environment, so you need to try and find them.
That's quite a smart system.
Yeah, it's they've bought into the whole, this Fantasia thing, and the sorcerer Yen Sid, and you're his new apprentice. It's got this entire story of, and it works really well. So the collaboration of Disney with Harmonix, so Disney's bringing in, the rich characters that they have, and their knacks for telling stories and things, and Harmonix are coming with this solid gameplay.
Yeah.
I
was interested in this game for quite a while, because I like Harmonix games and I like Fantasia. Like, Fantasia is one of my favorite Disney things.
Uh-huh. You would love this. It's really, really good. I started playing it last night, and I ended up playing for about 2 or 3 hours, and I was absolutely knackered by the end of it. you're moving about, and the songs is a very good mix of songs. So you've got stuff like...
I was going to say, what kind of music then? Is it Disney stuff, or is it kind of modern stuff?
It's a mix. It's quite a mix between a whole load of things. So you've got Elton John's Rocket Man on there. You've got Lady Gaga's Applause. You've got Depeche Mode.
Oh, cool.
There's David Bowie. There's Gorillaz. Lorde. There's Missy Elliott.
That's a very good mix.
And then you've got classical music as well. So you've got Mozart, Eine kleine Nachtmusik. You've got some Liszt. You've got Vivaldi. There's the White Stripes. Einon Zur, mm-hmm, does 2 songs for it as well.
That's really cool.
The Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody. So a really eclectic mix, and it works really, really well.
That's quite good, because I don't know how much you know about the original kind of Fantasia movie, or movies, because there's 2 of them. But like, the whole point of them originally, as they were envisioned, was that they would make new ones like every year, essentially. And have like new ones with new music every year or so. And
all right, okay.
The whole idea was that the animation was built around the music, which wasn't that uncommon. That's kind of how Looney Tunes and stuff was all made as well.
It came from the Merry Melodies with the...
Yeah, like they did the music first, and then they did the animation around it to match it. But that was kind of the whole point of Fantasia, was they took all this kind of, not necessarily like popular modern music, because Fantasia was a lot of classical stuff, but they took this stuff and made the animations around it, and the idea was they would keep going and kind of keep it up to date and keep newer ones, but they only ever made 2 because they failed commercially, like majorly. So it's quite cool to see a game idea of it, to see like that idea carrying on.
Yeah.
Although I do think that one also didn't do super well commercially, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
The Fantasia brand is doomed for...
Yeah. This one didn't do well, I think, more because of the Kinect.
Well, yeah, I guess it's an Xbox One exclusive, or it was Xbox 360 as well, I think.
Was it?
I think so. It was at least announced that way. I don't know if it came out.
Oh, right, okay. It works really well, and it is unfortunate that it's a niche market.
Yeah.
And, you know, for anyone that has just bought an Xbox 360, yeah, they may be able to find a copy of this, but they're not going to be able to do anything with it.
Yeah, because the newer ones don't have Kinects.
Yeah, they don't come with Kinects, so... It was one of those, I seen it in the shop and I thought, shit, I forgot about that. And I seen the price and I thought, right, fair enough, I'll take a gamble and, you know, if anything, I can always take it back and I lose a couple of pound. But, yeah, I'm really glad I picked it up.
That's good. I'm glad that ended up being a good thing.
Yeah, you need to get a shot of this. I think you would really, really like it. Just some of the things I was doing last night. So I was playing Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody and it had me crossing my arms and, moving my arms and, just, you know, things reminiscent. I was doing the Radio Gaga clap at one point. So it's got these little movements. You go, ah, shit, I know why you've got me doing that.
Yeah.
And some pieces of classical music, it has you swiping your hand in a dismissive way.
Yeah.
And there was, it used it for another song as well, and it just fitted it really well. So the, you know, I think I read somewhere that, you know, when this got announced and people seen what it was, people were going, oh, it's like it's trying to make you dance and things like that. No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's far from it because...
Can I make you conduct?
Yeah, yes, kind of, yeah. You know, the thrust moves, so where you're flinging your arm out, you've seen conductors do things like that.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, the strong arm movements to the left or to the right or up or down, where you're ending in a position, it's because it's in time to the music as well.
Mm-hmm.
The musicality on it is spot on. And then some of the slower things, like Rocket Man and a couple of the classical pieces as well, it does have your arm doing these soft flowing movements like a conductor.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of both, but even when you're doing the flowing movements like a conductor, there's still musicality because when you finish, it's in time to a beat or a word or, so it's still got that signature harmonics thing that they do.
Yeah.
You know, every button press was part of a, you know, whether it either followed the beat of a song or the lyrics. And they still managed to do that where you're waving your arms about.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, they did that well before. I mean, it was more of a dancing thing because it was Dance Central, but
yeah,
you know, they've done really good Kinect games before.
Right. Okay. I wasn't aware they did Dance Central.
Yeah, that was them.
What was the Ubisoft one? That was Just Dance.
Oh, that was Just Dance, yeah. That was also good.
Yeah.
Just Dance isn't really accurate in any way.
Right.
Like, it's just kind of make a motion and we'll pick it up and you're dancing because you moved. Which, to be fair, it was like a Wii game to start with. And you can't really do that properly. Dance Central was much more, we're using the Kinect to accurately decide if you're dancing well or not.
Right. The accuracy on this is astounding. There's a couple of other things that you can do. They've got the whole remix thing in it where you can remix the songs. So essentially you can unlock a different remix of a song. So there is the Depeche Mode song that I played. They've got the original mix, but as you go along, you unlock. It's kind of like a brass instrument version.
That's quite cool.
Yeah. So, but at any time, what you can do, once you've unlocked both of them, and as you get score multipliers, kind of like your star power, you collect enough of them, and in Guitar Hero, you would raise the guitar to activate star power.
Yeah.
Star power activates after a certain score here. So once you get that certain score, you can then choose your remix instrument. So you may be playing through and, you know, the majority of what you're hearing is the remix.
Yeah.
You can bring in the vocals from the original.
Mm-hmm.
and bring it into the song.
So you just kind of layers it in.
Yeah, so everything, all the songs are recorded in layers. So you've got the synths, the vocals, the drums, all of those. And you can, they're all interchangeable.
That's quite cool.
Yeah, it works really well. There's also, I realise I'm talking about this more than I intended to as well. There is also a section where you will end up with, it's kind of like a, remember in Guitar Hero where you could jam? You would just hit the buttons in any order and it would play some, it kidded on you were doing a solo.
Yeah.
Here is different. You end up with a musical scale, and where you move, depending on how you move your arm about, it records different sounds.
Uh-huh.
And that music gets taken and then it gets sampled and placed throughout the song for the rest of the song. And as you get further and further into the game, you're able to use these samples in more more ways, and you've got more choice into how you make up the sample. So the one sample that I did, I had a choice of snares, vocals, and strings.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a selection of different vocals, different strings, and different snares that I could use for the little sample that I had.
That's cool.
And it seemed like a hell of a lot of work for a sample that ended up being, I think it was like 3 seconds long, and it was a good little sample, but the choice that I had to make that sample was a hell of a lot.
I like that. That's the thing.
Yeah. So
customizability there.
Yes, I highly recommended. But there's nothing you can do about it.
So I recommend it, but I can't play it.
Yeah. So I'm glad I picked it up. One of the other things that I picked up was a game that you would want as well, and you will want, and that's Dirt Rally.
Ah, I want Dirt Rally so much. I've been seeing all your videos and stuff on Facebook, and it's just like, I need this.
Oh, man, that game is gorgeous. Anyone that follows myself and Kieran and, you know, most of all of our friends and the guys that write for the website and things like that, we all post videos on Facebook from our consoles and things like that. And, you know, everyone's kind of used to it. Nobody really says anything. But I've put a couple of videos of Dirt Rally on, and I've had people at work coming up to me and going, what was that game you were playing? That look, you know, and that is unusual. And they're going, it looks really, really good. What is that? It looked almost real, and it is. It's a gorgeous looking game, but it's brutal as hell.
Yeah, it's more of a simulation, isn't it?
Yes. So the way that the game works is you buy the game, bring it home, load it up, and yep, that's how it works. You put it into the disc, and off it goes. It does its thing, and it lets you start. Now, you start, and it still may be installing files. And while it's installing files, there's two demo races you can try.
That's good.
There's like two demos, little trials. Here, race these while I'm busy finish installing. So it does that, and
I
then...
I like the thing that some companies are at least using that well.
Yeah.
Overwatch has something as well. I don't know. I didn't actually try it, but Overwatch, you can boot before it finishes, and it lets you do something. It may just be a tutorial, though.
All right, okay. Then when it comes to the career mode, it's pretty standard stuff. You pick a car, pick a championship, and then off you go. Normally, before this, you would have picked a difficulty level.
Yeah.
No difficulty level. There isn't one.
Is there ever one? I know that Forza does that, and
Forza,
I think Dirt used to, or Grid definitely did, where it kind of just drops you into a race and then decides what your difficulty is going to be on, going to be based on how you do in that race.
You're misunderstanding. There's no difficulty.
There's just no difficulty at all?
No, you don't get a choice.
It's just, this is real life, enjoy.
Yes, this is what it is. One of the other things is, as well, is there's no more flashback, snapback, whatever the fuck it was called.
Yeah, yeah.
You make a mistake and you can wind back the time? No. Yeah, that doesn't happen. If you go off track, you can reset your car, you know, so it will pick it up and put it back to on track. That will cost you 15 seconds of time. So there's a time penalty for something like that happens. Roll the car, land on the roof, reset, cost you 15 seconds of time. If you are going round a corner, however, and you can't brake and you go off the edge of a cliff, that's it. Race is finished. Your car's irrecoverable. You're knackered. You can restart, and you can restart from the beginning of the race. No problem. Or the beginning of the stage. Yeah. I beg your pardon. But, so it is, it's taking a lot of the training wheels. They're taking them away. And the, not ironic thing, but the funny thing is, it was them that invented them. It was Codemasters that came up with that flashback thing.
Yeah, you know, that was, is it your Dirt 2 or Grid that did that first?
I think it was Grid.
Maybe Grid.
Yeah. So all of these things that they've had in, where I don't know if it was them or Forza with the whole thing where you could pick your, you know, if you pick to use ABS, you get nothing. But if you take ABS off, you get 5% more earnings at the end of the race. I think both of them did it more or less the same time. It improves on that, so it does more things like that. You actually get less money in the game if you play in any view that isn't a cockpit view. So you get two different types of cockpit view. You get the cockpit view where you see the steering wheel, and so you get that one, or you get one where it's more first person if you were actually behind the wheel, because you're seeing from inside the car or the window.
Yeah.
So that's the views that you've seen on the videos that I put.
Mm-hmm.
It's still an in-car view, and it's quite close to what I normally use anyway. But that's your two views if you're looking to play the game how it wants you to play it. So you can take a selection, and it will allow you to play, you know, from the view that you kind of prefer, Kieran, where you can see the car on the road.
Yeah.
Those views are there. You just get less money and experience from them.
Oh.
But the way it handles all of that is really good. I like it. You know, they're kind of pushing you because you kind of feel, well, fuck it. I've been playing it wrong. I need to play it this way. Okay. And you need to get used to it pretty quickly. The handling models that they have on these cars are really, really good. It's, like I said, it's brutal. Just absolutely brutal. I did rally cross in a Mini and got my arse handed to me. It wasn't even funny. My first championship that I did, I raced in a Mini. And I came third, and I was damn proud of that third. That was hard fought. I remember playing the Dirt games before, and, you know, I would play on medium level, and, you know, apart from maybe one or two of the races, I wouldn't get anywhere. But then it was solid. I was, you know, winning all the time. I was setting times that nobody else could not. You know, the AI couldn't beat and things like that.
Yeah.
No, they've decided no. and it's really good, but it's the one thing now is you take it so serious.
Yeah.
Because they've upped the game and they've said, right, this is close to simulation. So I am drained after a couple of races. You know, whereas you could put in, you can put Forza in and it's a little bit arcadey. And that's okay. And if you crash, it's okay.
Yeah.
Here, it crashes. That's it. You're thinking, oh, there goes 7 minutes of my life because I need to redo it.
can't remember the Drive Club in that way then. Drive Club's not a simulation, obviously, but it's that same thing of if you fuck up, you're fucked up.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a punishing game.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. You need this.
Yeah, I want it. I want it a lot.
Yeah. It is really, 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 really good. One of, we've had quite a load of good games this year, and this is one of my favourites.
That's the same a lot.
Yeah. And, you know, I've played a lot of bloody RPGs and things like that, but for a racing game to be topping my top list of games at the moment is...
In a year that Project Cross Zone 2 has come out.
Yep. Final Fantasy Explorers and Fire Emblem.
Oh, man. Final Fantasy Explorers feels like so long ago already.
It does, yeah. I was thinking about that the other day, though. Yes, you need this game. Last game, I did not really played a lot of it this time round anyway, but I picked up the Uncharted Nathan Drake Collection.
Yay!
So the reason I did that was, I think I've said it on the podcast as well, I had all three of the games on PlayStation 3 and fully intended to play them before 4 came out with me trading everything in. I thought, right, perfect opportunity. I can play through these three games and then I should be able to pick up a copy of Uncharted 4 for a lower price by the time I finish playing them.
Yeah.
So it should be good. I know it's not really important. I suppose you could jump into Uncharted 4.
Yeah, you can.
But
But it definitely helps having that.
Yeah, I want to pick up the story. I played halfway through the first Uncharted on PlayStation 3 before we started the podcast. I mean, not this episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I really liked it then, and it was just one of those I never got round to finishing it. And the second one, I got put off with one of the instances in the beginning and again moved on to something else. And the third one, I just I didn't play it. And I think I didn't play it for the same reason that I haven't played 4 yet, was, you know, I kept saying I need to finish the other two.
Yeah.
So, Uncharted, the Drake's Fortune, it looks quite good, still looks good.
Yeah, it's, they did a lot of work to the first one.
Yes, there's no janky frame rate issues that were there before.
Yeah.
And it runs smoothly. You can see that it's, you know, it originally wasn't made for this console, and the graphics are a little bit...
Yeah, definitely. But it looks good. Like, they did...
Yeah, they've...
There's some good comparisons between what it originally looked like and what it looks like in that collection.
Yes.
And they did a lot of work to it.
Yes.
It's not just a straight-up port.
No.
More so than the others. Like, 2 and 3, they did some work to it, and they look really nice, but that first one, understandably, because, you know, so much older... You know, it wasn't a launch game, but it was really early in the console.
Yeah.
So, you know, it wasn't even particularly good looking for PS3 standards.
Uh-huh.
But then they did some real good work with that.
Cool. I think that's it. I've, played quite a bit this week.
Yeah. No board games?
Board games, no.
That's surprising.
I'm going to have to remedy that. We're going to have to play some board games.
Definitely.
So, it just, I'm still trying, we're still moving between two houses and getting all of that sorted as well. So, any time that I have is kind of dealing with that. And it's just a little bit more difficult to try and drag out the board games at the moment.
Yeah, understandable.
Yeah. Cool. Excellent. Have we got any news, any stuff that's coming up?
We do. So, first one is The Witcher 3's DLC, Blood and Wine.
Yes.
The second piece of DLC is out now.
Yeah.
I think that's actually what was kind of slipping my mind earlier. Because I played a little bit of it, but not enough to really talk about it much.
Right, okay. How gorgeous does it look?
They made that game look even better, which is amazing, because
yes.
It was a very pretty game to start with. The new area, from what little I've seen of it, looks better than anything in the base game. It's beautiful. It's really good. But again, I'm only like a few quests into it, so I've not seen it
too
much. Although one of the first things I did was I loaded up the world map and zoomed all the way out, and it's the new area they add is massive. Like, there's a ton of side stuff in there. So, that's good.
Good.
More Witcher is always good. Witcher might win our best expansion of the year award 2 years in a row.
Very likely, yeah.
And less good news, No Man's Sky has been delayed.
Yeah, this is unfortunate. I don't know, was there an official reason given, or is it just kind of happened?
They just said it needed more time.
Yeah.
It's a shorter delay this time, because last time it was delayed, it was, you know, we only had the release date of 2015, and then they were like, it's coming June 2016. It's like, that's a long time off your 2015 release date.
Yeah.
Now it's come out in August. So, just a couple of months. So it sounds like it's probably just polished stuff.
Yeah, quite possibly. Did you see some of the horrible responses?
Yeah, there's some really nasty people on the internet, as it turns out.
Yeah, I don't know why we're surprised, but... Yeah, so a game that you're really looking forward to gets delayed, and you think it's an appropriate response to single the developers out and send them death threats.
Yeah. The worst part about it wasn't even that. Like, I mean, that's horrible in its own thing. But a lot of people were sending death threats to the journalist who originally, broke this story.
Yes.
Before Sony officially confirmed it. Like, Kotaku had an article up for a few days before Sony officially confirmed it, saying that, and that guy got a bunch of death threats. It's like, it's not his fault, he's just telling you the news.
Yeah,
Not that it justifies it, because, you know, the people involved in actually making it. You know,
yes, yeah.
But
yeah.
It's still, like, even less, whatever little bit of justification these insane people can think of, there's even less for that.
Yeah, I don't get it. I really don't.
People are horrible, as it turns out.
Yeah.
Should just get rid of them all. Start again. Apocalypse had a good idea. Shame his movie was garbage. Paul's not on the podcast, so I can say that.
Yep.
X-Men Apocalypse is a really bad movie. It's not Batman vs. Superman bad, but it's not very good.
Well, we could talk about it after the podcast, but
Total War Warhammer came out last week.
Yep.
Week four. It is the fastest selling Total War game to ever come out.
Oh, wow, okay.
Which is impressive, because there's a lot of Total War games, and some of them have been really successful. But I guess just putting the Warhammer name on it is like, hey, this is just the perfect storm of things that nerdy PC gamers love. I know I really want it. I just haven't picked up yet, because it's still ours.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much just because it's still ours. But that's a quick one. One that Ben would have liked if he was on the podcast. Formula One 2016, this year's iteration of the Formula One franchise by Codemasters, is reintroducing some of the stuff that was cut from 2015. Because 2015 was the PS4 and Xbox One release last year. It was kind of the first time the Formula One games had come to next-gen, or now current-gen consoles.
Yeah, yeah.
But as a result, it was kind of lacking a lot of features. So they've confirmed there's going to be a proper career mode this time. The safety cars are going to be added back in, which is kind of a big part of Formula One. So yeah, it's quite cool. There's also going to be, updates to include all the new tracks, or I think there's only one or two new tracks in this season of Formula One. But there's also an entire new team this season of Formula One, which is not a common occurrence, so
yeah,
they are going to be added in as well, which is cool.
Cool.
I'll be buying that. I like Formula One. I like Formula One games. PS4 passes 40 million sales.
Cool.
It's a lot of PS4s.
Yes, lots.
Not much news there, apart from the fact that it's a big number.
Yep, cool.
Microsoft stopped saying how many Xbox Ones they sold. I'm not suggesting anything there, but, you know, they stopped saying.
Yes.
Dragon Quest Builders, the Minecraft-style Dragon Quest game that was announced a while ago, which I didn't think would come outside of Japan, is coming out of Japan.
Oh, wow, okay.
It's coming to PS4 and Vita some point in October. I don't think it's got an official full release date. I think it's just October 2016. In America, at least. And I assume it'll come here if it goes to America. Game looks really good. It looks like they took the kind of Minecraft building elements and then kind of added a bunch of Dragon Quest RPG stuff on top of it. So it looks like a kind of really fun thing. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
Cool.
Monster Hunter Stories is coming to 3DS in Japan this year. We'll probably get it in like 2 years or something. It's a kind of more cartoony, weird Monster Hunter game. It's
right. A
bit more accessible. This is different. This is not the... I got it confused with, at least. The Monster Hunter Generations game, which is what we're getting in July.
Yes.
This is a separate thing. There's also going to be a bunch of Monster Hunter amiibos coming with it, which is why I add this in, because I know you like Monster Hunter and I know you like amiibos.
Yeah, I did see the screenshots of the two. There's two Monster Hunter amiibos that they've kind of shown off.
Uh-huh.
And they do look rather impressive.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just don't know what to do with the amiibos anymore. It's
you put them on a shelf and then they sit there and it's great.
Yeah, that is it. That's essentially what's happening with them. I wanted to buy some of the Fire Emblem ones. But why? They don't do anything. You put them on there and they come and visit you in your castle.
Yeah. I don't know if does that not do anything?
Well, the castles, you can fight people, you know, so with the street passes, if people come to your castle, you can either defend your castle or you can fight your castle. Yeah.
So is that.
Yeah, I'm not convinced, really.
Yeah, me neither. But hey.
Yeah.
These things happen.
Exactly.
They might be worth it, they may not be. I haven't got any of the Fire Emblem ones. Mainly because I don't have a new 3DS, so I couldn't use them if I wanted to.
Alright, okay.
There's a big sale on PlayStation Store. I'm not going to go through all that, but go look if you're interested in cheap games.
Yeah, there was a couple of good deals that we've seen.
Yeah.
We had started.
I thought I had it open, but I don't know. The PlayStation Plus games for June, even. Getting ahead of myself there. June.
Yes.
Are announced, and I had them open, but then I didn't have them open.
All right, okay.
So I'm going to fill for time until I can find them. Here we go. For PS4, we have NBA 2K16.
Right.
Which is the newest entry in the NBA series. It was the one that had the story by Spike Lee. I heard the story mode was really bad, but otherwise it's, you know, a really good NBA game.
Uh-huh.
2K kind of makes the best NBA games around. And also Gone Home, the highly successful adventure game. Kind of adventure game, affectionately and unaffectionately called The Walking Simulator. The game that kind of single-handedly shaped where indie games have went since then.
Yes, yeah.
And for the PS3, Echo Chrome, which was that puzzle game where you're the little stick man.
Yes, yeah, that was very good.
I really like that game. If you haven't played it or don't know what it is, you may recognize most of its mechanics from... Shit, what was that iPhone game that did really well? Monument Valley.
Monument Valley, yeah.
Because Monument Valley basically ripped all of its mechanics straight out of Echo Chrome. which are both great games.
Yes.
Siren Blood Curse, episodes 1 to 12, which I think is all of them.
Yes, it is, yeah. Excellent game.
Never played those, but I might now. And then for PSP, or for PS Vita even, I say PSP accidentally, because the first game is God of War Chains of Olympus, which is a PSP game. And yes, the second game is Little Deviants, which feels very much like they are scraping the bottom of the barrel for the Vita games.
It does.
Little Deviants was a launch game, and a poorly received one at that.
Yes.
God of War was a good God of War game, but it was a PSP game.
Yeah. Yeah, the Vita, as much as I hate to admit it, the Vita is, it's been on its last legs for a long, long time.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if they, maybe not this E3, but if next E3 they kind of announced they were dropping the PS Vita, PS Plus games, and maybe even the PS3 ones at some point. Like, I can't imagine PS3 stuff's doing much for them anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
I could see them dropping those and then going for either, like, adding at least one other game to the PS4 lineup or something every month or something like that.
Right, yeah.
Well, let me see. That's what I'd hope they would do, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't think anyone really benefits from the giving away fucking Little Deviants for the PSP.
No,
like,
I don't.
Little Deviants was alright, but it was...
Yeah, I picked it up on... I mean, at one point, I think when I picked it up on sale, I picked it up for like £2 or something.
Yeah. Yeah, you can get it super cheap. It's a tech demo, basically. It's a mini game collection.
Yeah.
Dumb.
It was alright.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It was, you know, not something you would really play now. It's something you play at the launch of the system or for...
Yeah, yeah.
There's a new Humble Bundle, as there always is.
Yes.
But this one's actually notable. It's the Humble Narrative Bundle.
Yeah, I've seen this. This is quite good.
So the pay what you want tier for it is Her Story, Read Only Memories, and I don't know how to pronounce this one. Is it Sybil? Sybil?
Yeah, I'm not
I never
too
knew
sure.
How to pronounce that one. I've not played it. I assume it's said somewhere in the game. I've not played it. Her Story is amazing. We've talked about it extensively on this podcast before.
We have, yes, yeah.
I can't remember if we gave it any Game of the Year awards, but it was definitely nominated for all of them.
Yeah,
even first person shooter, it was weird. Best time game, Her Story.
It was strange, yes. Yeah.
but Her Story is fantastic. It has won a lot of awards, and understandably so.
Yeah.
So like that free tier, or not free tier, but you know, pay what you want tier itself is great. Then pay what you, beat the average of 419 at the moment. It'll probably be higher than that by the time people hear this podcast. Is Steve Jackson's Sorcery Parts 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Which I don't really know what that is.
It's
by the same guys that did 80 Days.
Yeah, it is, aren't they based on the old,
Fighting Fantasy books?
Yeah, the Fighting Fantasy books, yeah.
Yeah, so it's based on the Fighting Fantasy books. That's quite cool. Yeah, I've not played that one, but the other two in this tier, though, are Broken Age, which is the Double Fine kickstarted adventure game. I've still only played the first episode of that. I keep meaning to go back and play the second one, because I really like the first episode, but really good. And 80 Days, which I think won our mobile game of the year it came out.
It did, yes.
I think it may have won it solely because it was the one me and Paul had played as well as you. But
yeah.
80 Days is fantastic.
Yeah.
I like 80 Days.
Amazing game.
Yeah. And then pay $10 or more to also unlock Shadowrun Hong Kong Extended Edition. I don't know what that is.
I don't know what it is either.
It's more of an RPG. Seems like it doesn't fit into this slightly. If it's
it's a RPG, isn't it?
Yeah. Weird. Yeah, it looks like it's more of a kind of XCOM-y RPG kind of thing.
Yes, yeah, that's what it does look like. Yeah, I was just looking at the trailer.
Yeah, it seems very different from the rest of these, but I guess it must be very narrative heavy, if that's what it's in.
Yeah, yeah.
It's different from the Shadowrun game I've played, which was Shadowrun Returns. That one was very good. I don't think it's the same developers either.
Right, okay.
It was a Kickstarter. So yeah, that narrative bundle seems pretty great.
Yeah, I am tempted to pick it up. I do have Broken Age on, I think, the PlayStation Vita.
I have most of these games, I think.
Yeah, I already own 80 Days.
I only have 80 Days on phone.
Yeah, same, yeah.
I have Horror Story and everything. I would mainly be getting this for Sybil because I know Tom really liked that game last year. It was in his top 5, I think.
Yeah.
It's definitely up there, at least. He really liked that game. Read-only memories, I've heard good things about as well.
Yeah. I think I'd be the same. I'd be buying it for the Sorcery games and the Sybil.
Yeah.
Read-only memories as well. I don't think I played that one.
Yeah, I've not played it. I've definitely heard good things about it, though. I'll definitely try that. I only have one other news story here, which is the most important news story of all. Overwatch came out last week.
Yes.
You may have heard.
Yeah, we did.
Since Overwatch, in fact, even before Overwatch came out, it has had a massive fan base.
Oh, I know where you're going with this, yes.
Making a lot of fan art.
Yeah, because of one of the characters.
Not necessarily just one of the characters. One of them's definitely the most popular, but they've all been getting their turn.
so to speak. Yes, they've been making dirty pictures.
They've been making porn. Lots of porn. It's more than just dirty pictures, which is the worst, I don't know. Before it came out, and kind of around release, Pornhub has said that Overwatch-related porn was searched for 817% more on the 5th of May when the open beta went live, which is amazing. But Blizzard has apparently been clamping down on Overwatch porn, and they've been doing DMCA takedown notices to get stuff removed. The main reason they can do this, though, because in general, fan art and stuff like that is untouchable, because, you know, someone made it themselves. You can't take that down.
Yes.
The reason they can take it down, and the reason it's more than just dirty pictures, is they're using in-game assets, taking the models out, making kind of porny versions of them, and putting them into Valve's Source filmmaking kit. And making pornographic videos and such from it.
Okay.
Which is probably not what Valve intended the social media to be made for.
Yeah, so the question, and I don't know if I'm being stupid, but why?
People like porn.
No, I know that, and that's fine.
Porn's been a thing for a long time. I haven't personally looked into this any more than reading the NeoGAF thread on it, but reading some of the people's comments in NeoGAF thread who had, you know, investigated further, so to speak.
Of course, yeah.
Apparently they're quite high quality. People put a lot of effort into their Source filmmaker porn. Apparently it's better animated than a lot of other animated porn is. Which is, I mean, if you're gonna do it right, I guess.
I suppose it's
weird.
It's obviously
just a weird story in general. I can't think of any other time I've heard of, like, because obviously every game and everything that comes out has porn of it. That is, you know, the rule of the internet. But the idea that I've never heard of a developer or publisher, like, you know, the copyright owner of the original thing, doing copyright takedown requests on porn based on their thing. That is really good.
Yeah, that's really good. Strange. But is that it? Have you got any other news stories?
That's all a new story I had.
Cool. Well, just looking at the new releases, things that could be coming out. There's not much, to be honest. There's Anima Gate of Memories coming on June the 3rd to PS4. If you're into One Piece, the new One Piece game, Burning Blood, is out at the same time as well for the Vita, the PlayStation 4, and the Xbox One.
Oh, I played demo of that, actually. That's quite good. All right, okay. I don't remember, a while ago I talked about a game called J-Stars versus.
Yes.
It's very similar to that, but much more kind of fighting gamey. It's 1v1 rather than having like a bunch of characters running around. It's much kind of... It's almost like the Naruto games, actually, in terms of tightness. Like, it's a bit more like a fighting game, basically. But it's really fun, kind of beat 'em up, from what I say. I have no affection for One Piece. It's not an anime I've ever gotten into. I know people really like it, but...
Yeah.
As far as it goes, like, gameplay-wise, it seems like a lot of fun.
Alright, cool.
I actually also tried the... Because two anime beat 'em up demos that are very similar to each other went up at the same time. The other one is JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Ah, right, yes.
I think it's Eye of the Heavens or something like that. I've also never watched JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, although I did start reading the manga of it because I've been meaning to for a while because it's apparently amazing and everyone keeps going on about it. But that game's also really fun. I would actually say the One Piece one's a bit better, though.
All right, okay.
It seems like a more fleshed out kind of...
Yeah.
So, yeah. Cool.
Prison Architect is eventually coming to the consoles as well.
Game of the year, again.
Again, yes.
I think it's already out digitally. I think this is a physical release. Although I think I say this every week, so I don't know.
I don't know at this point.
I think it's
20 times. Yeah. Speaking of fighting games, on the 10th we've got Guilty Gear Revelator.
Oh, I really want that.
Yeah,
I want it.
I'd like to see it. And I'll see. I'm on gaming on a budget this month as well, because I've bought a couple of Kickstarters and things, and so my gaming budget is already being used. So, but we'll see how Guilty Gear looks, and might pick that up. What else we got? Atelier Sophie, the Alchemist of the Mysterious Book. Now, if that doesn't say scantily clad girl RPG from Japan, I don't know what else.
I'm not sure if the Atelier ones are particularly scantily clad, but I'm not sure. I don't know much about them. I just know there are thousands of them coming out.
Yeah. Kirby Planet Robobot?
Yeah. It's a new Kirby game.
Yeah, it's just Kirby for you. That was the magic words. Done.
Yeah. It's the sequel to the Triple Deluxe 3DS Kirby game that came out 2 years ago? Last year?
Cool.
But that one was great, and this one also looks great.
Cool.
Triple Deluxe is the best Kirby has been since the Super Nintendo. It's a really fantastic platformer. So hopefully this one lives up to that. It's definitely excellent. They're releasing a new line of amiibos with it as well, which I will probably buy all of them at some point.
Cool. Very cool. Couple of games just left that are coming out for June the 10th, or week ending June the 10th anyway. Sherlock Holmes, The Devil's Daughter, that's the new Sherlock Holmes one from Big Ben Interactive.
Oh, last one was great.
Yeah, last one was good, so high hopes for that one. And then I've purposely left this one for last, but you've probably already pre-ordered this, Mirror's Edge.
Yep, Catalyst. I have that pre-ordered.
Cool.
I've been tempted to pre-order the special edition, but it's really expensive because only Game has it. And if it's like the Doom Collector's Edition, which Game had at launch for £100 and something and has now dropped to £60, I will probably pick it up a couple of weeks after release.
Yeah. So what is what's so special about the collector's edition? What's it?
It just comes with, like, you know, the usual stuff. It comes in nice fancy box. It comes with like a art book and it looks like quite a nice collector's edition. It's way too expensive for what it is, like most of these collector's editions are.
Yeah, especially if Game managed to get exclusive rights on them.
Exactly. And also, given all the talk around Game recently, which I didn't cover in the news, but there's been some rumors that Game might not be long for this world again. At the very least, they're kind of heading the same way they were kind of when we started this podcast. early on this podcast, at least, when we talked about when we're not getting shipments of games from developers because they were, or from publishers because they were losing.
Is that starting up again?
Yeah. So EA has apparently started pulling stuff, so Mirror's Edge, who knows?
Yeah.
But the other one that people have been reporting is that apparently Sony Games, Sony Games in game have, some of them at least have been getting, have been noticeably having stickers on the front of them that state that they are Sony's property until sold.
Oh, okay.
So the idea that game isn't actually getting their stock from Sony, they are still Sony's games.
Ooh.
Game has to actually make the money and then send it to them because they don't have the money up front to pay for the game, to pay for the stock.
Oh, wow.
Which is interesting. I'm sure they'll be fine, this game. Like, I can't imagine them going bust completely. This is just their dumb thing of they were nearly bankrupt a few years ago and then they got back on their feet and then they bought a bunch more shops.
Yeah.
Like, that was dumb. I think we even talked about it on here. We're like, because they bought up, they bought up a bunch of shops somewhere. I can't remember what it was. Some smaller set of shops, and then they opened a bunch of CEX competitors in some places.
Yes.
And stuff like that. And we're like, why are you doing this? You're gonna. They should hire us to be the business people. So I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because we know what the fuck we're doing. They don't.
Exactly.
But yeah, I actually opened up that collector's edition just now. It's $149.99, which is way too expensive.
Right.
It includes the game. It includes the collector's edition box. It includes a temporary tattoo that looks like Faith's tattoo.
Right.
A bunch of concept art.
Cool.
Limited edition lithograph. A steelbook case for the game itself, which is actually one of the reasons I want it, because I like steelbook cases in general, and it's a really pretty steelbook case.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's this nice kind of red one. I'm just going to send it to you. Because people can't see this, but you can see this.
Exactly, yes.
And then a 14-inch Faith statue, which, again, looks really nice. And I tend not to go for as much as I talk about buying amiibos and stuff like that. I don't actually own a massive amount of gaming toys and stuff.
Yeah.
My girlfriend actually owns more than me at this point because she has a massive collection of Funko Pop figures. But there's one that I would quite like. But £150 is way too much.
Yeah,
I don't know what they were thinking trying to sell for that.
Yeah, that's far too much.
It'll be 60 like a couple of weeks after release.
Yeah.
And that's still expensive, but I would trade in whatever copy of Mirror's Edge I own at the time and then buy that one for
it. I'll pick it up for a tenner at Christmas.
Probably. That's the thing. It'll probably drop quite fast.
Uh-huh.
These collector's editions don't sell that well anymore, as it turns out. People prefer digital games. As much as the people who like physical games like to bitch and moan as much as possible about physical games, they are not the majority.
Yeah.
Any other new releases?
No, I think that is it. There's nothing else. I'm trying to see if I missed anything. No, I didn't miss anything from there. I tell a lie. Professional Farmer 2017.
Oh.
So that is it. And then we're hitting June the 17th after that. And there's a couple of things coming out then, but we will deal with those when we get to them. Cool. So that's us already halfway through the year.
So you say halfway through the podcast. I was like, oh god, Mike, you're wrong.
This is the end here. So I'm just looking through the kind of list of things that we've still got to come. We've got Mighty Number 9. We've been waiting a little while for that one.
Yeah, that one's. Did you see the new trailer for that?
No, I didn't.
Oh man, it looks so bad. It looks so bad. I want that game to be good.
Didn't you back that?
No, I didn't. I nearly did. I wanted to, and I'm kind of glad I didn't at this point, because everything about that game seems to be a disaster. The new trailer is fucking awful. I'll try and find it and send it to you. I don't know what they were thinking when they made it.
Just looking to see the kind of big things. There's the new Star Ocean game that's coming in July. Batman Return to Arkham.
Saw a graphics comparison between the trailer they released with gameplay stuff of that, because Return to Arkham is the remasters of Arkham Asylum and Arkham City.
Yeah.
The graphics comparison, the older games look better. Like, the changes they are making do not seem to be for the better. In the context of the trailer, at least, it just looks like, yeah, it looks like a step backwards rather than a step forward. But it might look fine overall, but it seems like a lot of, these characters were in Arkham Knight, so if we put the Arkham Knight skin on them, it's great now. It's like, no.
Yeah.
No.
Nice. We've also got Final Fantasy 15, obviously. They're coming in September. The new Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney game?
Yes.
Yeah, that's in September as well. Gears of War 4. Battlefield 1, but we're not really... I don't know if you're looking forward to that at all. Or...
Interesting. I want to see what they've done to it.
Yeah.
I like Battlefield, but I've not really played one in a while.
Yeah, there's October. There's also a strange PC game, Civilization VI or something.
Never heard of it. Civi.
Civilization VI.
Good Civilization. Old Civi.
Yeah, no idea what that's going to be like. Fucking awesome.
Your entire second half of your year. Never mind whatever else comes out. That's Guardians apparently still this year.
And obviously Gran Turismo Sport's coming out as well.
Yeah, the early stuff about that's also not
funky. Yeah,
there was a lot of previews and stuff hit last week on it. It's not Gran Turismo 7, let's see.
Is there anything that you're looking forward to, like your go-to game that's
it's just Mirror's Edge for me, I think.
Just Mirror's Edge. There isn't. I don't know. Possibly Final Fantasy for me, I think.
Yeah, Final Fantasy looks good.
Yeah. And there is, you know, there's a whole load of other good games coming out. There's a new Dragon Quest. Well, we don't know whether that's coming out.
That won't be this year. They've not shown any of it. But they showed some very, very early stuff last year. We'll probably see more of it at TGS. Even if it comes out, it wouldn't be here this year. Persona 5 is still supposedly this year, but I don't think that'll hit outside of Japan.
Yeah, same as
America.
Same as Dead Island 2. We've been waiting for that one for a...
Well, Dead Island 2 is rumoured to show up at E3 because the Switch developers, they publicly did that like a couple of months ago. They said Niger were no longer developing that game.
Mm-hmm.
But the game is still in development by someone else. I think it was by Sumo Digital, the guys that made... they worked on Disney Infinity, and I think they made the Sega Racing games.
Yes, they did.
So they're good developers. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a game that you would consider in their wheelhouse usually, but hey, you know, they can do things.
Cool.
But... Other than that, like, I had, the rumors were just that it was going to show up because it got pulled, the pre-order page for it got pulled from Steam yesterday.
Right.
Or a couple days ago.
Okay.
Which kind of implies that either it's cancelled, or more likely, given it was only 2 months ago, they said they were redoing the development. They're trying to make sure that no one confuses it with, one, the Dead Island remaster that's coming out, like, next month or something like that.
Yes.
And to that, they can do a kind of relaunch of it and no one confuses what they announce with what they announced before.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, because I actually really like that first trailer for it. I thought it looked quite cool. The one that everyone thought had Jack Black in it.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I thought it was quite a good trailer.
But I think it's one of those things where development supposedly wasn't going that well. Dying Light came out and was shockingly good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm still not a massive fan of Dying Light, but like in general, it's, you know, a really solid game.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool, excellent. Well, I don't think there's much else left to tell you. If you want to send us an email about anything that we've spoke about in the podcast, or if there's anything we missed or got wrong, you can send us an email to podcast@glitchfreegaming.com. Find us on Facebook, search Glitch Free Gaming, and you should find our Facebook page. We keep it updated with what's going on the site, and when the new podcast comes out, we put a link to that. And sometimes there's funny little pictures and stuff to go with it, so you can have a look there. You can find us on Twitter at Glitch Free Game. And again, news about the website and little snippets that we find and things. Ben is normally quite good at the Twitter stuff because Kieran and myself are absolutely pants.
Yeah.
And of course, have a look at glitchfreegaming.com because we've got reviews on there all the time. Catch up with some gaming stuff there. Yeah. And go to the YouTube channel as well.
Yes. Go watch some of our videos. They're all about board games.
Yes,
or
they are.
There's one about Mass Effect 3. they're mostly about board games.
Yes.
I'd also like to throw out there that we, just because of when we record our podcasts and how long they take to go up, because usually we kind of have a weekend between
yes
the recording and them actually going live, the next podcast will go up the first day of E3, but we will not have any of the E3 news in it because we will have recorded it the week before. So, just in case anyone gets confused by that, the week after that will be E3 news.
Right.
Is E3 yep. soon?
E3 is soon, yeah. We normally try and do something.
Yeah. I'm not sure I'll be as prepared for it as I usually am because I'm doing a bunch of stuff those days.
Right.
I did the super nerdy thing, which I've never done before, and took the Monday and Tuesday off.
Oh, right, okay.
So I'm going to, because the Sony press conference is like 2 in the morning or something.
Wow.
So I'm going to stay up till 2 in the morning and watch a 2-hour fucking press conference about PlayStation games. But, and we'll talk about it off there. But I'm doing stuff on Wednesday. But I should be on for the podcast, but I might not be as prepared as usual.
Cool.
But we'll be able to load up a bunch of E3 news.
Yeah, no worries.
If there is any.
Yeah.
There's less, just Nintendo's not there.
Excellent. Cool. I think that's it. If there's anything else that we've missed, or anything else you remembered that you played, or
I really like E3.
I really like Dirt Rally.
I really want Dirt Rally.
Well, on that note, we shall speak to you all again this time next week. So until then, see you later.
See ya.